This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora, welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective here on Free FM 89.0, independent community media. Kia ora, Fred.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mick. And I'm Craig. Yesterday I found something quite interesting online on Facebook.
Yeah.
Nandor Tanchos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Remember him?
Before the Greens, was he? Was he? Yeah. Oh, no, it was Greens.
He was a Green.
But he was values before that, wasn't he?
I don't know, but it's probably his age. Says he's been around a little while.
Yeah. He's a councillor in Whakatane somewhere, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a councillor in Whakatane and he's standing for mayor.
Oh, okay.
For the Whakatane District Council. And somebody had shared some sort of statement that he made under the banner Nandor for mayor.
Mm.
And he talks about rates. Mm. Rates are going through, and this is quoted from what he's wrote. I'll just take bits out of it. That is the introduction and the conclusion. Rates are going through the roof and people are struggling. Even so, I'm going to say something that most mayoral candidates won't admit. Rates are going to keep going up, and anyone who promised they can stop that happening is lying to you.
Yep, I agree with that.
The government would sack the council and install commissioners if we did what it would take to stop rates increasing. Let me explain. Rate rises are being caused by three things: increased debt levels, inflation, and the need to upgrade our water infrastructure. To prevent community health being put at risk. Okay, I just put that in brackets there.
Yeah.
I said that I won't want council to be more open and transparent.
Yeah.
I won't spin a story to try to win votes. If anyone is telling you that they will cut rates, ask them how.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
I think for people, we're in local body election mode, and the billboards are all up.
Yeah.
In your respective areas, some areas have been inundated more than others. Yeah. But I would take note of the candidates that promise to control rates, promise to have lower rates, financial accountability, which I tend to think reflects that there's some form of rate control mechanism in there.
Yeah.
Those sorts of people. To be wary of them.
Yeah, and you do expect, you want them to be there to scrutinise what the council does and all that. I haven't got an issue with that, but it's a slippery slope. And they go, well, if we get rid of this, we get rid of this, and who misses out? You know, public services, and often it's the poor that need those public services, you know, who use them, you know. So
I would, we'll have meet the candidate stuff that's happening, probably still is happening right now.
Yeah.
But a question from, a prepared question would be, And you'll see candidates there that represent that sort of rate reduction, rates cut stuff. But a general question is around how will they do that?
I don't think they will, because the things that and it's good that he brought up debt. Of course, you borrow $100 million, and a few years ago you could borrow it for, probably council could borrow it for 1% or 0.05%. Now, of course, they're probably the average, and I'm only guessing, but interest rates have been up for a little while.
Mm.
Anything that had to get renewed, they might have been borrowing at 3 or 4%.
Yeah.
So, and it sounds like 1%, 3 or 4% is not much, but that's actually three times the interest you've got to pay. Because it's not 3% against 1%. It's actually 300% more or 200% more. So go for $1 million on interest to $3 million. You're paying $2 million more. That's a huge increase.
Yeah. You know? At least we've got honesty from a person, and he's a sitting councillor, in that particular district council.
Yeah.
And he's standing as a candidate for mayor. I wonder how many people come out and openly say that.
Well, he's obviously got some support because he's been a councillor for a little while.
Yeah, so I think some.
So it'll be interesting to see how he does. But I'm pleased he's not doing it on a. He's just doing it. Well, okay. This is how it works. You can't expect things in your city without them gradually costing more.
And that's what we know. We see from these, you know, so people making these comments on their billboards, and you think of those three things that were said. They're all going to cost money.
Yeah.
No matter how you do
it. And in life, you know, people go to work, they go to work and they expect an annual pay increase.
That's part of life.
So it's sort of a hypocrisy if they don't want the rates to go up or anything else, but then they're sitting there at home expecting, I deserve more for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so do the council workers. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And we need to pay for certain things.
But, you know, on the same thing, you also have to go, okay, what are we doing, et cetera? I don't have an issue with that at all, but we need to put in mind, you go out and dig a hole in your backyard, go to the toilet 365 days a year or whatever, paying $80 a week for rates on a property or, for a family isn't a lot of money considering you get your water, you get your sewage taken away,
your
rubbish picked up, your street lighting.
And so on.
Sports fields. What about all the people, the kids go and enjoy the sports on the morning? Who does all that?
Prepares the parks, pick up the rubbish, make sure it's mowed.
Some of the ones who are saying, we need to be more efficient and all that, they hop into their big cars and go off to their beach house or their lake house. But a lot of the people just use the zoo, they use the local park. They don't have those luxuries of saying, well, I live in Hamilton, make my money in Hamilton, but where should I go this weekend? They don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
So they need local
stuff. Some of the people bang on about efficiency, but what does it actually mean? It means cutting stuff out.
Stuff
that they may not use.
And that's the danger of it. Yeah.
And at the same time, you've got that building down the south end of town that we, the ratepayers, directly or indirectly, have forked out $400,000 to keep.
Oh, the old age concern. Yeah, building by the where the old swimming pools.
Yeah, we know.
And that's the danger. We need efficiency.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We need efficiency because we're efficient. People from the far right don't get as much mileage. Efficient all this, you can say, yep, we're having these social services, but we're efficient in our deliveries of them. Whereas if they point out, like you're pointing out about the old age concern fund, anywhere there seems to be waste or just indecision, etc., it's food for the one saying, yeah, we need to minimise government departments, need to minimise what we do, you know? So
Yeah, I understand all that, yeah.
So it'll be interesting, because...
And would it be a terrible world for some people if they lived where they had no community parks, no playgrounds for kids to have weekend sports?
Yeah.
Or libraries, being reduced, all those social community-orientated projects would make life very grim for some people.
And just to clear my hand, the Hillcrest Library is shut because there was a fire next door. So and my daughter works there. But at the time, because I visit her occasionally, I don't live too far. I live quite close to there.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I've been in to visit or drop something off, etc., there's been lots of people in the library.
Yeah.
It's quite well used. Mm. So it's a community hub. You can pay your rates in the community libraries if you don't do it online. You can pay your dog license fee there. You can do all sorts of things, and they have not just books. They have computer technical
group
to help you with your phone or your computer. They have groups for all sorts of things. Language. I did one for grief counselling, which was lovely, just before the Hillcrest Library burnt down. But, it's a place that people can go to the libraries and say, look, is it all right if we have a room and we want to discuss this and do that?
Because I know some candidates will talk about wasteful spending, but we need to actually identify yeah. what is wasteful or just mere targeting of getting rid of certain things.
Well, that's sometimes that slogan just becomes a slogan. It's,
yeah, it's a throwaway
it's
line.
Meaningless.
Yeah.
It's a throwaway line.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course it is.
You need details.
Yeah.
Where are they wasting the money?
And when they get in and they realise that they can't do a lot, then what it does do, it harms democracy, because everyone said, oh yeah, they were going to clean up, they were going to sort out the council and all that. It doesn't happen because they realise that most of it's the essential stuff they have to spend the money on anyway.
Uh-huh.
So then people go, well, yeah, he was full of hot air. And so it's sort of a waste. Instead of going, like Nandos says, right, this is what we need. This is what control council. What we should be having discussions about is how many big projects we have ongoing. Like, we've just got the arts thing, and it looks wonderful, don't get me wrong, on Victoria
There's
Street.
There's another one further along up the street too, on Victoria.
Okay.
By the old BNZ building.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a building going up in there.
Yeah. I think that's the hotel. Mm. But you know what I mean? Fine. I understand, and as a socialist, I think we all should, that you need to collect... Often you need the collective good to build big things because an individual can't. But as I say, the question should be, right, have we finished paying off the Claudeland Showgrounds before we do the next one? Where's the debt sliding on all this?
My fear is that they'll cut at the lower end. Your park workers or your maintenance
soft
people.
Soft targets.
Yeah, soft target stuff.
The rubbish bin.
Because if you're saying how tatty the place looks when you come into town.
That's what's happening.
Decided, jaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of looking at things from the top down, people look from the bottom up.
Yeah, always.
And then they have a big debate on Thursday or Friday about social, what do you call it, social disorder, etc. You know, which is a huge problem in Hamilton, but around the country.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
You know, Auckland's got big problems, Hamilton's got big issues, and the people who are homeless, et cetera.
But they don't seem to be trying to solve the problem, they're just trying to move it on somewhere else.
Yeah. So that's what I'm getting at, the building the arts theatre. It looks lovely, but unless we look at society and go, well, how do we... Are we just going to walk over the 20 people that are homeless in the street outside the entranceway? Need to go, all right. And unfortunately, it costs money and time to actually deal with these things. It's not like a quick fix. The quick fix is what some of them think. We'll just sweep them aside. And as long as they're not where I walk or where they walk into the theatre.
Yeah, problem solved.
Problem solved.
As far as they're concerned.
And that's the cheap. And of course, that's a lot cheaper than main fixes.
Yeah.
Because main fixes are often ongoing. You might have.
Long term.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got there, Mick, for us today, Mick?
Palestinian Solidarity Network have been, doing another advertising campaign again, and the advocacy advertisement placed in, which day was this? I think it's the beginning of the week. Tuesday.
Yep.
And it reads, "Dear Mr. Peters, these children were killed before their first birthday. Sanction Israel now." And there's a whole list in small print, presumably of young kids.
Yeah, and there'll only be some of them.
Some of they know of,
yeah.
So good on for trying to draw attention to this.
Yeah.
Didn't somebody else do that before? With a list of...
They did a campaign about...
But not in this country, no.
It's been done around the world.
Yeah.
But some of them, Europe and The Hague, somewhere they did a big, long scroll of lots of names, Because they are human beings at the end of the day. And it's pretty, a child that might have an uncle that's in the resistance in Gaza, do they deserve to be blown up just because they're related to someone?
No.
We wouldn't accept that. It's like, would we want... Adolf Hitler, for example, would we deliberately try and kill his child? We wouldn't. It wouldn't be a thing that we'd lightly do, I'm sure. You know?
The Nazis...
Because a child, a three-year-old, they're just... their circumstances, they are born into that family or that ideology, etc. They're not actually rabid Nazis or rabid Hamas or rabid IDF.
Well, certain people see them as the next generation.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, no.
But when you target them deliberately...
You're taking out the next generation of resistance.
Well, that's their argument, isn't it? Oh, they're all going to be hummus, so let's take them out.
Take them out, yeah.
Yeah, I think...
I see Emma Cook's been busy. She's got another cartoon here for the benefit of listeners. There's a TV screen in one corner with a Palestinian mother looking very gaunt, and she's got a shrouded, wrapped baby in her arms. And three stooges, as I call them, have been depicted as the three wise monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. And one of them's holding up a pamphlet saying, New Zealand government, Gaza famine won't shift Palestine's stance.
Well, we know the three wise monkeys are.
But, I just think that Western governments have suddenly decided they're going to declare at the General Assembly next month about sanctions if Israel doesn't
recognise Palestine.
Recognise anything is just stalling for time.
Definitely,
especially some of that.
For the Israelis.
Definitely. Because they'll have the US in their corner. So,
I said the US is going to block any Palestinian representative at that UN meeting.
Is that right?
Just someone saw that in the paper. So that just shows, you know.
Yeah.
They're not opening their hearts. They're doubling down. You know. Yeah. And yet the populations, I think, want this to stop.
Around the world, population, it's just the elites.
And the elites seem to. They won't go there. And surely Luxon and people like that must know. I think he does know it's wrong, but they just need the rahal to do it, to actually... And the argument is we're on the other side of the world. But if you threw the Israeli ambassador out, or at least chastised him, did they bring their Israeli ambassador in about even last week's killing the journalists in the hospital as well?
Segues into this article on Monday. Gaza famine won't shift New Zealand's Palestine stance. Luxon.
Yeah. And that's it.
So they're busy discussing semantics and technicalities of international law, and people are dropping dead. Starvation or being shot or
whatever else. Yeah.
And he's quite right. In one way, he's right that it won't shift it immediately, but it still adds pressure.
Yeah.
It's another stick in the river when you're trying to change its course.
The other countries are doing it.
And that's how it sort of works.
I think into our local election, you must have seen some billboards around, especially around our way. They've had stickers attached to them.
Oh, some of the local candidates,
With
I Love Israel and things like that on them.
I think you were saying that Sarah Thompson came out and...
Which is a credit to her, which I showed, I thought it showed her maturity. I haven't seen any other candidates say anything. But she's put out a public statement saying that she doesn't like what the stickers are doing, but she is appalled what Israel's actions are doing, and she's and I said good on her for making a statement about it.
It's pretty the others.
Well, they may. I'm not sure.
Well, I haven't seen it.
We haven't seen it in the media.
It's been very muted.
But I thought that showed a maturity to go, okay, someone's put some bloody put some stickers up on my things. Instead of just saying nothing, she said, well, okay, I don't like that doing, but I'm opposed to Israel's actions.
Yeah, I got talking to someone on Thursday about this, and they said that people have been putting these stickers up, people have been ringing in, and Sarah Thompson's team of volunteers or whatever been going around ripping the stickers off their candidates' billboard, but not others.
But okay. Let's face it, the reality is any publicity, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Someone has obviously gone, right, I want this to be an issue amongst them, and our council's been very quiet, so it may lead to something, you know?
Yeah, because last time we had a flag waving in town, I think someone said that the council just seems to be adopting a neutral policy.
That's a bit hypocritical.
You can't be neutral because if you're neutral, you've just been duplicitous. You're avoiding the issue.
Well, and in my opinion, the council at least should be going through and saying, do we have any what dealings do we have with Israel?
Yeah.
And they could come out with a statement saying we're appalled by the loss of life.
One chap suggested that council here has been brought under pressure from Wellington not to go down that road.
Well, some councils have.
Christchurch and Wellington.
I think Wellington has, and some Dunedin, smaller councils.
Maybe.
Yeah, so, you know, and sure, it's not council's core business, but should you say nothing when there's a... Mm. And they know, it's been proven, there is footage of Gaza leveled in lots of areas. Yeah. We do know 60-something thousand minimum have been killed.
I think the line you could possibly use when they say, well, it's not their business. Well, what about your position on Ukraine? That's the counter argument.
And it's a very good argument. We were quick as nails to jump into Ukraine, not just local government, but main government. Yeah, yeah. That's why Sir David Seymour's got a medal from Ukraine. I'll talk about that in a minute.
There's a root version of that.
What you want from politicians or anyone is level. It's like when you've got children, you shouldn't pick on one child. You're level handed about your praise, about everything else. And we seem to be very quick to be anti-Russia, like that, rightly or wrongly. People can debate that all, but they jumped in against Russia just like that. Supported the ICJ, the ICC, condemned Yemen. You know, but when it comes to what Israel's doing, it gets lost in a tumbleweed.
Yeah.
We haven't done that for a while. You're right, Craig. It's the argument is you're quick to jump on one. Either don't jump on any, or be fair.
Yeah, even handed. Because you remember that they had that blue and yellow flag. Where was it highlighted? Was that up at the Varsity? Wasn't it?
They had it at the university. Yeah. And they jumped. You know. So, but I say all you want is level-handedness and to make sure that we're not supporting any illegal killings or land clearances
or anything else. Signatures to
the genocide convention. And we're meant to be proactive. We're not meant just to go, well, no, that's not good. You're meant to do what you can. Well,
Karen's are supposed to be obliged to prevent this sort of thing happening.
But there's been inaction.
There's lots of platitudes and wringing of hands and nationality, but it means nothing for the poor people in Gaza and West Bank.
No. The Palestinians, you know, because let's face it,
they don't have the luxury of discussing finer details of international law. They're busy trying to survive.
And if anyone thought it was just...
A lot seemed to be just wasting time.
The other argument really is, okay, this is what's happening in Gaza, and they're using the Hamas argument, who are just resistance, their government.
They're all Palestinians, the Hamas. Yeah. And
But in the West Bank, that's not the case. But they're still stealing land, they're still killing people, they're still whatever.
That hasn't prevented them being abused.
No. They use Hamas as an excuse, but there's a bigger drive to cleanse Israel, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely.
Because the West Bank's dominated by Palestinian Authority, isn't it? Palestinian side.
Who seems to have sadly let down...
I think they're...
They've gone for the... Let's face it, and I do understand it, that Israel's such a strong power, and it's backed by America and the West. So he's... And it's unravelled on, what's his name? Abbas?
Abbas,
But they've gone for, if we just let them do what we like, we won't get killed or slaughtered. But what has happened, of course, let them do what they like, and they've still been killed and slaughtered, their land lost. Yeah. So that hasn't worked, has it?
No. You know? Yeah.
It's appeasement, and it hasn't worked.
It's failed, dismally. Yeah. Okay. Like Neville Chamberlain.
Yeah. But anyway, so they're talking about a march over the Auckland Harbour Bridge for the Palestinian support, show our support for Palestine, coming up on the 13th of September. Is that what I talked about before? Something like that. So it'll be publicised and all that, if they get permission. You can't just go and start a march. But going on what happened in Sydney and then more recently in Brisbane, they had huge numbers in Brisbane as well. So people know it's wrong. I think more and more people want to show that we know it's wrong. Come on, government. Grow some rahu and do the right thing.
But I think that cartoon sums it up.
We don't want to know about it.
Don't want to know.
And I think even if the government, because it's a coalition, you see that the ACT Party and New Zealand First have been very slow. They're not, haven't been slow to support Palestine at all. You could argue that they've been blocking any government attempts, I believe, to actually come out and be stronger about Israeli's actions. And I believe that. When you've got Shane Jones having a go at the Green MPs wearing kaffir as a sign of support for Palestine and calling them wearing terrorist terrorist scarves, you know, that's immaturity, but it also shows a prejudice.
A blatant prejudice,
So watch the space there. We could have a march over the Auckland Harbour Bridge. Probably, I've never walked over the bridge, so I'd be quite keen to do it myself, actually.
But I think the question around council, this support of Ukraine, and turning it kind of being muted on the subject of Gaza, it would be an interesting question to be raised at a candidate's debate.
And it's quite right. It should be answered. How come you're so quick to jump, on one and you've been muted on the other?
Just people to think about. Something to think about.
But okay, just on that, Ukraine, David Seymour has been awarded, and not posthumously, he's been awarded, what do you call it? He's been awarded
some sort of civilian
Civil award, third or fourth class, for support for Ukraine. And I did see an article, they asked him, well, what about doing something about Middle East? And so that's more complicated. So, this is the ACT leader,
Well, the Ukraine issue is complex as well.
Of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is. But it just shows you that,
it's definitely class and race bias, isn't it?
And also, Ukraine's been very quiet. And in fact, I don't know about now, but has been fairly supportive of Israel for some time. So, whether that's changed or whether they're too busy dodging, trying to press gang people to go and be killed at the front line with Russia, I'm not sure.
So you got a civilian award. I could think of a better name for it.
I like the way it says third or fourth class.
So it didn't come with oak leaves.
Not yet.
Citizen award. I call it.
And you see, Albanese's been busy this week too, eh? Requested the Iranian ambassador be given 7 days' notice to quit the country.
Because of the Revolutionary Guard.
I watched the press conference on Al Jazeera, and it was a waste of time because nothing was disclosed. And then it qualified that it was likely that Iranians had been involved in the bombing of the synagogue and somewhere else.
Torturing, here.
And I thought, they're not that stupid.
You wouldn't have thought so. Yeah. It seems really weird.
Dumb.
Yes. And who would do that sort of thing? Who would actually want to bomb themselves? You just have a feeling there's not a lot that who gave the information? Did it come from America? Did it come from Mossad via America, CIA? I hope that they investigate it or not. But it just seems dumb that I can't really believe that the Iranian ambassador would be handing out incendiary sticks out the back door of the embassy. Can you?
That sounds rather dumb.
And Iranians need all the friends they can get.
And especially in Australia, because they know there's an Israeli influence, but they also know there's support for Palestine. Yeah. That sounds more like someone, what do you call it, stirring the pot. What do you call it? False flag. That's what it smells like,
That's what they did prior to them.
Then the authorities can come in and swoop in with extra security, blah, 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 and clamp down on these elements, and it's...
Will they actually have to produce the evidence anywhere, or do they just say, it's secret, who told us that they're doing this? Because isn't that... and even some of the Aussie commentators on the left, to be fair, are saying, actually, who gave them this information? Have we checked them out?
Authenticity.
And that's all secret.
Verification.
How authentic is it?
Yeah,
so it kind of reminds us how the Second World War started on a pretext that the Germans had been shot by Poles,
Germans in Polish
uniforms.
It's been done before.
It's been done before.
So it just seems like I'm a few, Mick. I just think.
As soon as I started thinking, they're not that stupid.
You wouldn't think so.
Because if it did, they would know that everyone would just zero in on them.
And let's face it,
it'd be obvious.
The Iranian embassy would be under surveillance from the Australian Secret Service, their friends, the American Secret Service, and probably the Israeli Secret
Mossad,
Service.
Mossad,
among others. So anything they did would be watched. So I just think it certainly
doesn't quite add up.
It could be a rogue employee. I could understand that. Yeah. We've had that before around the world.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's possible.
But actual...
or officially sanctioned...
Yeah, it doesn't...
Act.
Yeah, it doesn't... It smells, to be quite honest. Just smells. Does,
yeah. All of a sudden, the Revolutionary Guard is a terrorist organisation. After how many years?
Yeah.
1979 and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm glad you brought that up, but I hope there's a bit more looking into that. Because I've got a terrible... You know what it's like for the media? They're coming up with something like that, then in 3 weeks they realise that it was a bit of a...
If they do.
Or
the story just fades away and we're just left with the impression the Iranians
were the beheaded babies.
And nothing gets changed. Nothing
like
gets,
the gold teeth torture in Ukraine.
Yeah, that stuff.
You know,
it needs a little bit more of a...
Because enough people will believe what they've been told at that press conference, the Israelis are involved in this, and they won't even stop to think about it. They'll just jump on the bandwagon.
It needs a thorough investigative stuff.
So,
what else got there, Mick?
The government's been busy, and visa to bring in cash to New Zealand cities. Foreign business investors will get fast-tracked to residency under the government scheme. This is the BVI. Business Investor Visa.
Yeah.
So if you've got some spare cash, $2 million more, and you want to invest in it, you'll be fast-tracked in.
Yeah, which has been going on for a little while.
Yeah, but now this is now official. This has now been accelerated.
Yeah.
So they're incentivised with citizenship fast-tracking.
Yeah. So you can, if you're rich, we want immigration minister.
Or so-called.
And they can only eat, Peter Thiel, you know, people like that, they can only eat one loaf of bread the same as the rest of us. We seem to think, well, they'll bring their money in and that'll solve New Zealand's problems.
They claim to have some qualifications here, but it says there's a list of different conditions associated with a visa, such as requiring applicants to meet English language, health, character and business experience standards. They're also excluded businesses such as adult entertainment, convenience stores and fast food outlets.
Mm.
So it's all high-end investment stuff.
Yeah.
Even those ones have experience that they're in there at their end.
Yeah.
And which you can bring money in, you can bring it, take it out just as quick. And on that, I see that the government this week has, I don't know if it's up for discussion, but at present they're allowed to get a bit more information out of the wealthy, the IRD, etc.
Oh, you were saying this yesterday.
Yeah, the IRD is just going to rescind that. Because it's too much of an invasion into their privacy, etc.
But if you're a beneficiary trying to sneak an extra $20 mind someone's lawn,
they can look at you.
The full weight of the law will come down.
Yeah. But isn't that sad? They get protection. Mm. This is just about information. Well, to know where the tax comes from, and we got that report probably 2 years ago now that Labor did. That the wealthy were on average paying about 9% tax. Yeah. So yeah.
So money talks, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could put in big bold letters, IRD to protect wealthy.
So it's when
somebody like me owes IRD money, there's no protection for me.
Yeah.
You've got to pay the damn thing. But interesting you raised the name of Stanford, because she's been getting it in the neck from all sides around the education stuff.
Yes.
They want to challenge the decision around the NCA, NCA and the corporate.
She was promoting the reduction of Maori words in books.
Yeah, that was another one too, yeah. Mm. The one about the NCCA announcement is what was in the forum it was held.
Mm.
Why wasn't it held in a forum of school principals? It was held in somewhere else.
In an old school, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
Didn't she go to an old school where the kids go to there?
The announcement was made in a forum that was not high school principals or school principals.
Mm.
It was another forum. It's almost like I don't know if it was a law or a legal or a business forum where it was announced.
Oh, okay.
And they felt that they should have been there. Should have been done in front of them, that announcement. Instead of being told secondhand.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was concerns around that. So there were those two areas, and she's getting in the neck, and they're also challenging the equity stuff.
Yeah.
That's going to the...
Oh, the pay equity.
Yeah, that's going...
Well, we talked about last week, those five unions.
Yeah, that's where...
They're taking the government to court.
Yeah.
Because it was fast-tracked.
Didn't go
through a select committee process at all.
So the government's getting in the neck in a couple of places here.
Well, they're getting in the neck from other people. I was watching a Bernard Hickey Substack. He was talking about the economy and the austerity measures of this country.
Yeah.
It's not working.
No.
It's counterproductive.
Yeah. He's quite worth listening. He's got a little podcast called Dukaka.
Very good.
Yeah, you know, and he used to be quite a big name. He was interviewed, you know, used to be probably going back 10 years probably, and he used to be often asked for comment on the news and everything else. But I think because he's definitely come out and questions the economics of how they treat the poor and disadvantaged, he's obviously got off flavour with the mainstream.
Very good. When I think it was about the Treasury papers. I think the Treasury released some papers this week.
Yeah.
And they're looking at the government's austerity policies and doesn't seem to be working. In fact, things are getting worse for the same group of people.
Yeah.
Ones who can least afford it.
Yeah. Well, and goes back, we were coming into town today and Auckland's got the same problem. They're talking about social disorder, et cetera. The number of shuttered shops with lease signs up in Hamilton and in Auckland, apparently, etc. Central cities, etc., they're becoming, people don't want to go there. And especially if there's lots of homeless people asking for money and everything else, people just avoid it and go to the safety of a mall. So it self-perpetuates, you know?
Yeah, instead of solving the issue...
They just want a broom to sweep them over to Hamilton East or over to...
Because remember how they used to congregate Steel Park, for example.
They did. Yeah.
And then they put the lights in.
So.
And then I think Fred, you mentioned about the water meters, and there's going to be a pilot program in Hamilton East. Residential water meters on way for Hamilton East. Once a controversial issue, water meters are now a fait accompli for city. Well, I agree with that. Water meters are now generally acknowledged as a means of reducing water wastage and could stave off the need for council to spend billions on infrastructure upgrade. That's hogwash, because we're getting more and more people coming to the country, more and more people coming to the city. This city is the fastest growing in Hamilton in the country. So this idea that, yes, it's true, water meters do make people use their water conservatively because you're paying for it. But the part that they always leave out, the other part of that equation, is when it's privatised and the amount of money generated from water usage goes down, they put the price up.
Yeah, because they'll have a base cost. You know,
they've got to pay off their shareholders.
Well, it's like us in a house or whatever. You have a minimum gas charge, whether you use lots or a little bit. The first bit is a minimum. You know, and they'll do the same with water. You can bet your bottom dollar.
But I don't see how it can stave off spending billions on water infrastructure upgrades.
Well, no.
Spurious.
Will future councillors flick it at some stage?
Privatise it.
Because once you've got water meters in, then you can say, well, who wants to be in charge of this?
And there'll be lots of people who've got infrastructure and all going, I can do it for you. I can do it cheaper, blah, 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 blah.
And not from this country.
Which we've seen in a different way, like the rubbish collection and all that. It used to be council years ago, and now it's contractors do it all. You can't tell me they won't do the same thing for water reading and everything else.
It's supposed to be cash-strapped, but I reckon the previous cost estimates for installing water meters in Hamilton as a whole put the bill at about $53
million.
If they're going to spend that money, they're going to have to try and recoup it from
somewhere.
Consumers.
Or
somewhere else.
So how many households are they looking for this pilot?
They're looking for 200 volunteers.
in Hamilton East.
For volunteer households to take part.
Okay, what will happen? They will put a meter in on them, but when it's over... Even if they don't go ahead with water meters, they won't pull the meters out. They'll just leave them in the ground because the work to put them in will be reasonably substantial.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, plumber.
Yeah.
I imagine you've got to, you know, where your water water comes into your house, they have to dig that up, plumb in a meter, and that's, you know, theoretically, but you're not dealing with new infrastructure, so some of those pipes will
Well, the cynic in me thinks that these people who do volunteer, there'll be a follow-up to this article saying, oh, yeah, it worked really, really fine, I've used my water conservatively. There won't be any mention of the second half of that equation about the price going up afterwards.
Mm,
mm. And it'll be presented as a fait accompli. Oh, yeah, people really didn't mind having water meters and they've used their water conservatively. And that's when the crunch hits, when it becomes across the board.
Mm. Mm.
So you go back to your comment, Fred. Where would they actually install it? Near the Toby or closer to the house?
No, on the Toby. Yeah. When I was living in
Yeah, on the sidewalk. Okay, it's got a picture of here of a water.
Where your link goes into each property, where the meter would go on, and they're just a gadget, of course, and they've plumbed into one end of the pipe and one the other.
Meters work properly because they had this problem with people getting overcharged for their electricity because of faulty electrical meters.
Yeah, yeah.
So who's going to maintain and check on, make sure these meters are accurate?
The volume. Well, that's probably, to be fair, maybe that's also behind the test. They're trying out the meters to see if they work.
The council giving the impression at the moment that it would be council operated this independent body or organisation, but
hard to believe.
Hard to believe. I've got thinking that privatisation is going to come heading our way and we'll end up the same problem in London with Thames Water. Not invested in infrastructure, and the amount of water wasted each day is phenomenal in London.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Well, in New Zealand as well.
The larger population in London, sheer volume is wasted because of cracked pipes and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's no guarantee that we will save our water resources and use wisely, because if it is privatised, where's the incentive for those companies to maintain
the infrastructure?
Well, at the moment you have capitalism and you have shareholders need a return.
It. Forget it.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem.
The same as Thames Water. Shareholders got big bonus every time they came close to fining Thames Water. They paid off their shareholders to avoid paying the fine. Yeah.
And you just need a few well-paid people who work for these companies, or even if they are, if they're on what you call it, the top of companies, whether it's state or private, they're well-paid. They're not in the poorer classes.
No.
They would potentially have shares.
South Africa's got this problem. It was on average and the people in the poor areas were limited to 50 litres of water per day, and that was for cooking, washing, doing their laundry, whereas people in affluent areas could use as much as they like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was like the, where was that? It was in the state. California, wasn't it, where it was a drought?
Mm. And people, landscape gardens.
They're watering it. Rich people.
So the same thing could happen here, that rich people carry on squandering water, hosing down their expensive vehicles and that sort of stuff, and the poor get impacted even more.
Well, don't forget, it'll be right into the...
So what happens if you can't afford to buy... If you're a beneficiary and you're on a limited income, how are you going to afford to pay for your water?
Well,
Do we end up having communal taps?
No. Under the accommodation supplement...
Yeah, the state will end up subsidising the water.
But even like the housing one, there's a cap, though, isn't
there? Yeah, unfortunately.
There's a cap, the government, the taxpayer can't keep on forking out.
No.
Yeah, because anything like
you can end up not being able to afford drinking water.
So they'll privatise and the state will end up paying a lot of people's water.
Accommodation supplement is capped at a certain, maybe 105 for a single person, whatever.
Yeah.
But then some of the cost goes to TAS, but the accommodation costs within TAS are capped at a certain amount.
And I imagine some of the rental buildings, etc., they'll just have one metre, and the landlord will just split the cost up amongst the tenants. I can see that happening.
One would think that would happen, have one metre for a apartment of six.
But you hope.
Yeah. I don't have much faith, I'm sorry.
No, whatever it is.
When money enters into the equation, you guarantee someone's going to lose out.
Well, and you go back to Nandor's, in the end, there won't be, it'll still cost. Whatever they do, it'll cost.
It depends who gets passed on to.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Glad you shared this particular article. There's another article that's also of interest on the side.
Yeah.
Green light for controversial sand quarry. A controversial sand quarry southeast of Cambridge has been given the green light despite more than 350 submissions, most of them opposed. Independent hearing commissions have granted RS Sands consent to operate at 77 Newcombe Road, extracting up to 400,000 tonnes a year for the next 25 years.
And which side of the river is that on?
Okay, that's southeast of Cambridge.
So this sand is
on the Cambridge side of the river. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I take it this is sand for construction.
It smells of a fast track stuff. And this is what may have upset people. At peak, the quarry could see up to 200 truck movements a day through typical volumes will be close to 78.
And this is the thing. Surely if they're going to have a quarry and it's going to be 25 years, in a socialist-type mindset, you'd actually put a rail sidling in there.
Yeah, you would do.
But they won't, of course.
Trucking's
more efficient than you.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Well, and then they can take that individual truck to there. You know, that's always the argument against rail. It then has to be re-trucked somewhere.
And I think where they pull it to transport it through will be on public roads. What's the impact on the public roads going to be? Who has to fix them?
Well, we know that. It'll be the public, you know?
Yeah. Not the trucking lobby.
Yeah. Mm. And one more thing. The continuing saga of the policeman's lot not being a happy one. Continue. Barely equipped. Senior police worried about quality of new cops. Senior police have painted a damning picture of the quality of new cops leaving college, saying many are barely equipped to deal with basic duties, including procedures on how to make an arrest. Royal New Zealand Police College obtained exclusively by New Zealand Herald on the Official Information Act, came as the views of 230 field training officers, experienced staff who oversee recently graduated recruits as they hit the streets. The March survey asked for feedback on new staff over a six-month period and found 55% or 106 senior police felt new officers were barely or not at all well equipped to with following procedures of arrest or laying charges, etc. So the standard of policing is going down.
It's just
Well, and I think the other thing is once I think you're looking at nowadays that I want to be a policeman, I want to do good for my community, da da da.
But the bar's dropping though.
But of course now it's like, oh, do you realise you get 90 grand a year for being a policeman or whatever the pay is?
The monetary aspect.
So it can bring the wrong type of attitude in, you know.
Well, it seems to be they're struggling, eh? Because they're trying to recruit 500 police officers. We're losing them, they're going to Australia or they're retiring. And the standard's going down. The bar is slipping.
Well, and a lot of police, they do it right. You know, they work and do their job, and then of course, you know, you're quite reasonably well paid. They would never admit it, but they're reasonably well paid compared to someone in a shop, just like a teacher's reasonably well paid to someone working in a shop. But of course, as they get on, they've paid their house off, etc. What would I like to do? So they can
see the police are strong because they've withdrawn police from rural areas around, was it Canterbury and
down Talbot and Wayne.
They've withdrawn community police stations around Ayer. And I think I said to you, if you're doing a burglary in Morrinsville, you know you've got 20 minutes to before the police turn up.
And then they're all having big debates around the country about social disorder.
Yeah,
you know.
So it's almost like they're in retreat in some respects.
Yeah, and they'll retreat to the John Key enclaves of wealth and privilege.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll look after them and other areas will be judged dread in the wilderness.
No-go areas.
Wilderness stuff.
So it's very hard to find anything positive this week. I've been struggling for the last few months trying to...
No. Well, yeah, yeah.
Struggle.
Yeah, because nobody's addressing the social inequality, Mick.
No. Well, it goes back. We're still busy buying helicopters to attack submarines, and our real enemy is going to be here.
I still can't get over that they're doing that. No, submarine hunting helicopters, fine, you found it. What are you going to do now?
That was an interesting one. Did you find out what the price of each of those helicopters?
I did. It was millions. Yeah, I had the.
They're very keen to open the checkbook for that, but they were very quick to scuttle the IREX deal, which would cost less.
And as I'm sure the broker did very well out of that deal.
Oh, very much.
That's what worries you is
money, money greasing palms.
And there's a big article in the Herald today about the head of the army, who's a woman, which is someone King or whatever. Yeah, it is there. What's her name? Major General Rose King is now the Chief of Army. Major General Rose King. You know, but you know, the bottom of the war's changed. I'm all for, as I said last week, all for armed services to provide emergency help. Discipline if it's fairly judged, etc. But to get into this, what do you call it, offensive war stuff?
Arms race stuff, yeah.
And who are we doing? Just fill in a broker or two is getting a commission out of all this stuff.
The media buying in this too, they're doing
well. Of course they are, look at it, big articles about it, you know.
And what sells guns is make people feel they're unsafe. We need to buy these helicopters because you're unsafe, because of these people.
But we have to
generate this fear and paranoia, and the demand for arms goes up, and someone is doing very nicely.
Yeah, and it's the enemy over there. And meanwhile, we don't look internally and go, well, actually, the real enemy to most Western countries is from within.
Yeah, inequality.
Inequality and what comes from inequality, fascism, all sort of crime, you know, you name it.
Mm.
Prejudices, it's just awful, you know.
Mm.
Cults, you know, numerous things pop from that.
I guess there's one positive I could take out this week was that at least I don't live in America.
Mm.
Because Robert Kennedy Jr. has just sacked all the CDC staff.
That's the vaccine.
Centre for Disease Control. He's got rid of certain individuals, including the director, because she wouldn't kowtow to his demands about passing his policy through into practice.
Yeah.
And which means that some Americans won't get protection from vaccination programs unless you've got an inherent medical issue.
Or you've got the right health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So that means he'll be affected by
the poor. The whole point of the CDC is to control what pops up in terms of pandemics and all the ensuing problems. But if you've taken that away, lots of Americans
are vulnerable.
Around the world will be unprotected.
I just think, and it doesn't just apply with me, but
we've still got some sort of control here at the moment. But
what's the big picture thinking? Is there any big picture thinking? Like the Chinese would be thinking, 50 years' time, what are we doing?
He's replaced all the people he just sacked with people like him, because he's a vaccine skeptic. And he's replaced all the staff with vaccine skeptics.
And there was a joke that went around that Kennedy was Trump's medical advisor.
Someone told him to drink bleach, didn't it? Yeah.
He got that mark on his hand, old Trump. Did you notice that?
The only positive I could find this week was I'm glad I don't live in America.
I've got a slight positive from a left-wing perspective.
Yeah, we've got positive.
Is in Argentina. President Milei, who's a rampant
the dog talker,
the sex guru, the far right, a lover of Israel and capitalism.
Blah, blah, blah.
He's in a bit of trouble over a financial scandal. And his sister.
Allegations of corruption.
And he went for a working class suburb the other day, and he got some stones thrown at him, some bricks. You know, so he had to be evacuated.
And obviously missed.
Yeah. So, but it just shows you this corruption, and they've got quite good. They've got an audio recording of a conversation that he wasn't directly involved in, but was associated with some of his sister, I think, knee deep in it and everything else. So, whether it can be proven or whether it gets squashed, but the people are, you know,
upset. All right.
Yeah,
they were upset because they kicked out the left wing government.
Oh, yeah, and he's getting all these accolades around the world.
They voted in a right-wing government and still got the same problem.
Still got corruption.
Still got corruption.
Yeah so on the take.
Yeah, so it's
and the same as Bolivia. I think they've just had elections too recently.
Bolivia, yeah.
The same reason, the guy who was a left-wing president who wanted to stay on the extra term but couldn't legally, he got kicked out, and they've all turned to the right. And it's not going to solve the problem.
And isn't that the tragedy? The left, we need to be efficient. If we stay seriously screwed up, and we just hands it to them on a platter, like the Trumps.
And
like,
it just goes on and on. And the people on the bottom, they're just thinking, "This, who do you choose?"
Yeah.
Because there's always a problem, eh? It's corruption at the top that rots it.
Yeah.
Not from the bottom.
It's the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at China. China so far, and President Xi has said, when he first got into power, the biggest thing we have to sort out is corruption.
Yeah.
Because you can't ask the people to do things or be with you if they see corruption.
Mm.
And they execute some of them.
Yeah, I think Vietnam is another example of that.
Cambodia's got problems too on corruption.
Whereas if you give someone home detention for being corrupt, etc.
What's the incentive to turn your
ways? The masses go, oh, everyone does it.
So I might as well go in for it because no one else is capable of it.
Hold people to account, which we don't.
Yeah.
You talked about that. What's that? How much was that fraud?
Oh, 240,000
and
you got
12 months
home detention.
Home detention.
And if it was Māori boy stealing from the post office,
slapping a hammer with Buster.
Because
they have good character. Good character.
They lost their good character when they got nicked.
Yeah. Who determines good character though?
People from the same leafy suburb. Yeah,
who didn't get caught, but they're trying one of their buddies.
And the final couple of minutes, can you reread that John Key thing?
Okay, if I can find it.
Yeah.
This is the life of normality.
Yes, apparently.
Nine questions. This is Tom Saki. Each day, the great New Zealand road trip, we'd catch up with a notable and noteworthy New Zealander, posing to them the same nine questions. Today's business executive and former Prime Minister Sir John Key responds. This is the New Zealand Herald today, Saturday. What's one word to sum up your mood right now? Tentative. What do you wish people knew about where you live? It's a beautiful leafy suburb full of young families and some of Auckland's nicest restaurants. Warning, before you go on, you need a sick bucket if you're on the left. What are your passions? Golf, helicopter flying, family, travel, eating and wine. But don't tell the doctor about the wine. Which New Zealander, alive or dead, do you most admire and why? Sir Edmund Hillary. Anyone that had the courage to climb Mount Everest without thoroughly inadequate mountaineering equipment and go where no human had been before makes him number one in my eyes. He also passionately gave back to charities far and wide and never forgot the people of Nepal who helped him knock the bastard off. What is your idea of perfect happiness? Wake up, as I get older I could stop there. Have a trim latte and a slice of Vogels with butter and Vegemite whilst reading the Herald online. Go for a walk with Broner. A round of golf transported by the helicopter I flew. Go home for a spa and dinner with the kids. Most likely a delicious curry, some beautiful New Zealand seafood or a sizzling steak. Let's get serious. 2/3 of a bottle of great red wine. What is your greatest fear? Dying. What is that you most dislike? Spam emails and blood tests. What is on your bucket list? Playing golf at Leopard Creek in South Africa and going on a safari. What do you think New Zealand will look like in 10 years? I'm optimistic. New Zealand has so many natural advantages when it comes to food production, a tourist mecca, and talented, creative, well-educated young Kiwis who are ambitious for our country. Oh, and a new flag.
before we chat, we're out of here.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.